This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on Ducks Stream, powered by TuneIn.
Wow. Best word that describes what we just witnessed here at SAP Center in San Jose. A 6-5 overtime win for the Anaheim Ducks, and they get it done in a shootout. Just a pretty entertaining game. I hope people were able to listen to it tonight.
Yeah, Steve, you look back at this, and neither team ever led by more than one goal. Each team had the lead on various occasions, and ultimately it was the Sharks getting the tying goal after having pulled their goaltender late in the third period. But then after the Ducks unable to capitalize on a power play attempt in overtime, they get the victory in the shootout behind goals from Trevor Zegras and Troy Terry. So the Ducks folks have themselves a winning streak. They won two in a row.
Oh, boy. Maybe a sign of good things to come going up to Vancouver for a game on Thursday. And then right back here on Saturday night against the San Jose Sharks. So we'll have a lot to cover here. We'll go downstairs and visit with an Anaheim player. And then do our play of the game and things like that. In case you missed it, we'll have all the details of what happened here tonight.
Yeah, there was a lot, folks. This was one of those games that is memorable and will be for a long time to come.
Okay, we'll be heading down in just a matter of a moment or two downstairs, and we've been told we might expect to hear from Max Comtois. And he was a part. You know, this is one of those nights, I think, on both sides where everybody contributed for both teams. It seemed like everybody had a hand in what happened during this game, whether it was good or bad at a certain time. But certainly it was so nice to see the Ducks get six goals tonight. That's a positive.
Yeah, and the resilience, too, Steve. Yep. The Ducks obviously had some moments in this hockey game, including giving up two goals in a span of 23 seconds in the first period, having to rebound from that, and it just went on and on, even into the shootout where the Sharks took a 1-0 lead in the first round with Logan Couture opening the shootout with a goal, but the Ducks responding immediately with Trevor Zegras getting the goal and then Troy Terry, the game-deciding shootout goal. So it's one thing we've talked about repeatedly, even going back to the preseason, is regardless of what happens in the course of a game, the Ducks continue to battle back. In fact, we saw it here in San Jose during the preseason and come-from-behind victories. All three Ducks victories this season have been in come-from-behind fashion. So there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, there is, and it's been fun. Last couple of games, no question about that. Just a quick reminder, tonight's broadcast property, the Anaheim Ducks Hockey Club, and every broadcast of tonight's game, either whole or in part, without the express written consent, the Anaheim Ducks and the National Hockey League is strictly prohibited. So we're just waiting for our player to head onto the microphone, and then we'll be glad to visit with Max Comtois about this thrilling win. Ducks take off for Vancouver after this game tonight, and we'll have tomorrow off, but then play the Canucks on Thursday night, and we will be on the air at 6:30 California time with our 30-minute pregame show and the play-by-play at 7 o'clock against the Canucks, who went through some struggling times trying to improve their hockey game. And I don't care where they are in the standings, if they've been winning or losing, they're a tough team to beat in that home facility.
Yeah, and, you know, we saw it tonight with the Ducks and Sharks, two teams that have gotten off to less than ideal starts, that's for sure. And it'll be a similar scenario on Thursday night when the Ducks play in Vancouver. But, you know, Steve, the Ducks seemingly now are starting to build something. That win over Toronto and this one tonight, not only is it a two-game winning streak, but they're starting to get some reward for their hard work here, and that's nice to see.
Okay, and we will alert our network affiliates that we'll be doing just this one post-game segment. And then for Josh Brewster, he'll join you after the upcoming commercial break. Again, we're going to visit with Max, and he is ready to go, Dan.
Max, okay, we're almost ready for Max, we're told. Max, listen, this game tonight, you guys had the battle back time and again. What can you say about the resilience of your group tonight?
I think it shows that, you know, our team is a passionate team. I think all of our wins are coming back from a deficit. So it says a lot about the way that we want to play, and shows a lot of the character that we have in this room. And we're never going to give up, never out of this game. And that's a good thing moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. You took the words right out of my mouth, because the opening two victories you had against Seattle and Sunday night against Toronto, both of those featured comebacks from two-goal deficits in the third period. And then tonight it just went back and forth all night long. What was the feeling like on the bench? Did you guys have the sense that it was kind of crazy out there tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was kind of a roller coaster. You know, we had some good moments. We had some bad moments. You know, we're just trying to stick together and do the right thing. And, you know, a couple unfortunate bounce that that could prevent goals. But at the end of the night, we got the W. Stoley made some really good save in the shootout. And we're out of here with a 2 points.
Absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about your goal midway through the third period. Looked for a while like it might stand up as the game winner. Troy Terry with a terrific pass out to you from behind the goal line, and you snapped it really quickly past Kaapo Kähkönen, the San Jose goaltender. Just how did that play develop from your perspective?
I think we made a pretty good play to get the puck deep and you know, get on the forecheck. We're a really good team getting those pucks off the wall and getting back to the slot to create scoring chance. And, you know, I know my role on this line, and I know how Terrence is good with the puck, and he's going to find me. And I'm just trying to find open spot and, you know, shoot as quick as I can. That's how you beat goaltenders in this league.
Well, Max, that was very nicely done. Good work tonight from you and the entire group. Thanks for the visit.
Thank you very much, guys.
All righty. Thank you. So we're going to take this period by period, and then we have a plane awaiting us after a nice win here against San Jose. Dan, going all the way back to the first goal of the game.
Yeah, Steven, that one was from Adam Henrique, set up nicely by Kevin Shattenkirk. Henrique with a snapshot from the right side to give the Ducks a 1-0 lead at 5:16. And then the Sharks get two goals in a span of 23 seconds, both from Erik Karlsson at 6:18 and again at 6:41. Ducks with the equalizer at 10:52. Frank Vetrano converting a nice pass from Isaac Lundestrom. Jakob Silverberg also with an assist on that goal that tied it 2-2. And then Adam Henrique, his second goal of the game at 19:45 of the first period. Just a tremendous move by Henrique, undressing San Jose defenseman Matt Benning and scoring with a beauty of a backhander, the 25th career two-goal game for Adam Henrique. So the Ducks went to the locker room after one period, leading 3-2.
Then in the second, San Jose gets on the board first
with a power play goal from Timo Meier after Ducks winger Max Jones had taken a holding the stick penalty. Meier with his second goal of the season at 3:28. Ducks with a response. Ryan Strome had a John Klingberg shot deflect off his upper body in front of the net and passed Kaapo Kähkönen. And Strome with his second goal of the season from Klingberg and Terry made it 4-3 Ducks at 15:10. But only 21 seconds later, a really odd goal credited to Meier, his second of the game, off the ensuing faceoff. Meier brought the puck into the Ducks zone on right wing, and it was actually Jakob Silverberg, the Ducks winger, who inadvertently put the puck in his own net. So that left the game tied 4-4 as we headed to the third period.
And then how does things start up? Maybe our guest we just had, Max Comtois, had something to do with that.
Sure did. Nathan Beaulieu, the Ducks defenseman, got the puck deep. Troy Terry from behind the San Jose goal line able to feed Max Comtois on the left side, and Comtois buried it. His second goal of the game, or of the season, I should say, from Terry and Beaulieu at 11:31. Sharks coach David Quinn, though, with a very aggressive move to pull goaltender Kaapo Kähkönen with 3 minutes 10 seconds to play for an extra attacker, and it paid off when Erik Karlsson capped the hat trick at 17:48. Stolarz, the Ducks goaltender, got a piece of the Karlsson shot from the right side, but the puck trickled across the goal line. Barabanov and Hurdle with the assists. That tied the game 5-5. Ducks had a power play chance in overtime, couldn't convert, so we went to the shootout.
Went to the shootout, and Couture started it with a goal. And then Trevor Zegras couldn't score. That was a tough one. No, he's going to score. You know that, folks. So no doubt about that. Trevor does get that particular goal. So we're 1-1, Dan, after one shot apiece.
Yeah, then the second round, Kevin LeBanc of the Sharks actually had the puck roll off his stick, never able to get a shot away. And Troy Terry with a mirror image shootout conversion of what Trevor Zegras had done earlier. Zegras, a left-hand shot, going to the right-wing boards and cutting to the net, putting a backhander past Kaapo Kähkönen, and then Terry doing the exact same thing, but as a right-hand shot, cutting to his left before going back to the front of the net. And, Steve, I believe we have more about the Troy Terry goal.
Yep, it's our Play of the Game brought to you by PDF Tron, changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. Here's the game winner scored by number 19, Troy Terry. Here he comes, one-on-one with Kähkönen, fakes. He scores! Troy Terry! The two Duck shooters, Zegras and Terry, have scored. Now, if Stolar stops the next San Jose shooter, the Ducks win the game.
And that's exactly what happened. Anthony Stolarz with the save on Erik Karlsson to preserve the 6-5 Ducks victory. Troy Terry, the shootout hero, after picking up a couple of assists in regulation. Ducks win it 6-5 in the shootout.
And we'll be on the air at 6:30 on Thursday night from Vancouver, 7 o'clock play-by-play. Yep, the bus is awaiting Steve Carroll and Dan Wood, so we have to scoot downstairs and join us for the contest on Thursday. I want to thank everybody involved with the broadcast, including our great engineer here, Bill Brooks, of course, Cash Hibbler, and everybody involved in listening. Thank you. It was a good one. Hopefully we can keep winning Thursday in Vancouver. So for Josh Brewster, who's next with an extra segment besides his Duck Calls program, which starts in a few minutes. For Dan, for Josh, I'm Steve Carroll. Hope you enjoyed it. We certainly did watching it. In a shootout, the Ducks defeat the Sharks 6-5. Good night from San Jose. You've been listening to Ducks Hockey on Duckstream, powered by TuneIn.
Oh my God, that'd be so helpful this year.
That's the sound of Alejandra getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be getting her after-school program a bunch of supplies. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with 1.9% APR financing on an award-winning Honda, like the 2022 Passport, Pilot, or Ridgeline. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services, expires 10/31/22. Length of contract limited.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water.
I was in the car with my friend, and we were having a blast listening to the game until it started raining and that loud eeeen noise started coming from my wipers. Don't let squeaky wipers ruin your great moments. Hear clearly by Michelin Wiper Blades.
There was this guy who had a close circle of friends. They did everything together. They threw dinner parties, went on fishing trips, hung out at the beach. They were inseparable. But then one of his friends got in serious debt. He needed money. So he set this guy up, framed him, and had him arrested, all for 30 pieces of silver.
Jesus was sold out. He gets us, all of us. Visit HeGetsUs.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big, official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
We all have difficult times and face challenges. You're not alone. There are things you can do in your daily life to support your healthiest self. Make sure you get enough rest and set a positive mindset for the day ahead. Grab a friend and take some time to get outdoors to breathe fresh air. End your day by jotting down three positive things that went well for you. For more resources on ways to build your healthiest self, visit ducks.ocnavigator.org. The OC Navigator is brought to you by the OC Healthcare Agency and the Mental Health Services Act.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit BPBI.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
Hey there, Ducks fans. I'm Alexis Downey, and I'm so excited to share all of the amazing things that the Ducks organization is doing off the ice and throughout our SoCal community this year. Listen to DuckStream to hear more of Leading the Flock.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Bruce. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888. All right. Duck 6, Ducks 5. Wow. Well, what do I know? I'm telling Danny Stewart when he's 2-2. Well, the game will calm down, and now, you know, it'll calm down a bit. And, yeah, it'll calm down. It'll score another 9 goals. So don't listen to me. All right, my big take of the night here. Adam Henrique, great job. You were the best Duck on the ice tonight, and there were a number of good ones. Adam Henrique, we needed to hear from you. 2 goals, tip of the cap to Isaac Lundstrom as well. We needed to hear from you. The shots had dried up this year for Mr. Lundstrom, and things were not, and the shots had dried up for Adam Henrique as well. But tonight, he gets back on the horse, and the Ducks, a lot of fight in this dog over after a very rough start to this season. So a lot of things to like here. I mean, You're playing a San Jose club. It's a divisional opponent. And by the way, now, and this is important, by the way, 2-1-0 in the division. 2-1-0 in the division. So that is significant. I know it's very early, but that does matter. A couple things. I'm about to go to the phone, 714-940-2888. What else did I was I going to say? What about Trevor Zegras? Just the confidence level is just absolutely huge now. And Troy Terry gets a couple of assists. He's up to 8 assists on the season. There's a lot to like here. Quick shots by Frank Vetrano, as always. And no shortage in the shots department. 44 for the Ducks. 44 against for the Sharks. But we did generate 44. Vetrano, 6 shots on net tonight. Troy Terry, 7. John Klingberg, 7. And a little shorter bench. Max Jones, Mason McTavish, Brett Leeson. Only about 7 minutes tonight. Shorter bench. Interesting. All right. Let's go right to the phones. I think we have Bruce from Tucson, if I'm not mistaken. Bruce, is that correct?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling the show. What have you got for me? Welcome to Duck Calls.
No problem. I wanted to hear your take. I thought you brought up some great guys. What do you think about Anthony Stolarz? Because I thought he really stole the show tonight in the third period.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of guys on the list, and yes, absolutely. He did save. Well, look, they scored shortly after, but that is a game saving save on Lorenz, and it was unfortunate that Carlson got his hat trick goal right after that. But you know, I've been saying, Bruce, as we stumbled to 1-6-1. Just throw out the goalie numbers because they don't tell you when the big saves come. There's no big save stats that are prominent in this league. So I love Anthony Stolarz, and I like John Gibson as well. And I think if the Ducks are really square in one aspect of the game, it's in net, Bruce. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think, like you said, that's the biggest thing so far this year is goaltending has kind of been a crapshoot in every game. So, you know, loving what I'm seeing from Stolarz. Between him and Lorenzo, it was a battle of the guys with the Z's in their names, you know, and I was just loving watching it.
Yeah, indeed. Well, there's a lot of good stuff here. And there's guys who we needed to hear from, Bruce. I really needed to hear from Isaac Lundstrom. I believe he came into tonight's action with three shots on net in the first nine games of the season. And Adam Henrique had been stumbling with only three shots on net in his last six games. And, you know, while I understand that Lundstrom often occupies a checking role, we know what he can do. We know he has speed. We know he can drive the middle lane. He was a guy we needed to hear from. Max Comtois had been off the score sheet for a while as well. We heard from him. So there were some guys tonight who we needed to hear from, and we did.
I agree. I think it was great seeing those guys get shots. I think, you know, Comtois was a guy I was hoping would emerge. I think Jake Silverberg, you know, he's got a great shot. Maybe if we can get him to turn and, you know, shoot on the other jerseys once in a while, that might help too. But I think a lot of positives tonight, you know.
Yeah, I know. I knew that was coming. And you know what was – it was really unfortunate for Jakob Silverberg. He has three goals on the year. Really unfortunate because he was just trying to sweep it away, and it wasn't like a little tap-in. You know what I mean? It really literally looked like he was shooting it at our own goal, but obviously not. And, you know, you feel bad for a guy when something like that happens at a key moment. And, Bruce, I guess finally it's funny at 2-2. At 2-2, I said, this has got to settle down. I said it on the air. It did not settle down at all. Very entertaining game. I think everybody got their money's worth.
I think so. It was a great game, and I think we're only going to go up from here.
Well, I hope you're right. Bruce, thank you for calling the show. You call me anytime. Good caller. I'll call in all the way from Tucson, Arizona. Well, I'll tell you what. There's a lot to like here, and it was nice to see that the Ducks could keep pace. And one thing that's happened of late is that we've responded well to adversity. The body language it's not sinking. You know what I mean? We're not getting down on ourselves when things are not going our way. We haven't even mentioned Jamie Drysdale could be lost for the entire season. That is a real tough one. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this, and I really, as much as it costs the Ducks, and it does cost the Ducks to lose Jamie, I look at this as a situation where this team has so many things to fix now that for Jamie's sake, I'm just concerned about Jamie as an individual. It's not like we're a club in contention and we lost that piece and everything else has been going great. What are we going to do? There's so many things that we need to fix, and we fixed quite a number of things tonight, at least for tonight. I'll miss him as an individual. As a team, there's so much to work on. And obviously, the power play is one of them. I'll offer an observation, 714-940-2888. In a little while, I'm going to have Corey Mazisak on for the first time. He writes about the Sharks for The Athletic. He's also written about the Caps. He's covered the Devils. Good writer, and always enjoy hearing him when he's on the radio. I would like to somehow see the Ducks move together as a five-man unit a little better. In the defensive zone, we're able to do our formations right. But, boy, as we're coming up the ice, sometimes things are a little far-flung. And I think that moving up the ice as a five-man unit is another thing we got to work on. But I'll tell you something that the San Jose Sharks, they taught a lesson tonight. If you're not doing it with one guy screening the other team's netminder, have two guys screen the other team's netminder. That was the story of Erik Karlsson's first two of his three goals tonight. And the last one involved a couple guys in front of the net, but not quite as tight in Stolarz's line of vision. But that is something that needs to happen. The power play, I could be cute and say it's like you're trying to pass the puck into the net. It's really not that. But it is a little bit too much perimeter, and you know, we need some more quick shots. And by the way, before I go to break here, I'm going to go to break in a couple minutes here, but I just saw on, maybe you saw this on In the Crease on ESPN Plus, but Trevor Zegras, he was talking about this absolutely nasty move that Adam Henrique laid on Benning, and then on Kakinen on his goal, the 3-2 goal. The absolutely nasty, nasty move. He made a beautiful deke. And Trevor Zegras says, yeah, I think he said something to the effect of, I didn't think he could still do that. That's funny, okay? That's funny. That means Adam Henrique's been in the league for quite a while. You know, it's interesting. He's been a streaky player. There are many fine players who are streaky players. But we are obviously a better club when he is clicking. And he is productive in the shot department. I hope he can find some more opportunities on the ice to unload, because he really is a key guy around here, and he'd been a little bit out of our sights in the first 9 games. So hopefully he'll be getting back right on track to where he wants to be. And I keep talking about Max Jones. It was a shorter bench tonight. Max Jones, Mason McTavish, and Brett Leeson. Not unexpectedly, but boy, I am kind of itching to see, and I'll say it again, kind of itching to see more ice time for Max Jones. I really want to see what we have there. So, all right, a good night tonight, and we even had a goal go in off of Ryan Strome. So healthy shot totals. Power play is still a very big issue. You're down to like 6.6% now. So that's not good. We're going to fix that. All right, I will be right back here on Duck Calls, 714-940-2888. Coming up, Corey Mazacek from the Athletic.
The Anaheim Ducks in the NHL, and make sure you don't miss a single moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered. You can securely sell your seats to other fans with just a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/ducks.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bpbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
We all have difficult times and face challenges. You're not alone. There are things you can do in your daily life to support your healthiest self. Make sure you get enough rest and set a positive mindset for the day ahead. Grab a friend and take some time to get outdoors to breathe fresh air. End your day by jotting down 3 positive things that went well for you. For more resources on ways to build your healthiest self, visit ducks.ocnavigator.org. The OC Navigator is brought to you by the OC Healthcare Agency and the Mental Health Services Act.
This is Staples.
So, rumor has it that Staples has everything I need to ship.
That's not a rumor. We have all the shipping supplies and services you need.
Boxes?
Yep.
Mailers?
Yep.
And I can actually ship there, right?
We have UPS right here in store.
Huh. What will Staples think of next?
Right?
No, seriously, I'm asking, what will they think of next?
Staples has all your shipping supplies and UPS service in store. And right now, get 25% off UPS Express shipping services. Staples, the best kept secret in shipping. Ends 12/31. Valid only in Staples U.S. stores.
Join the coolest club in the NHL, the Wild Wingers Kids Club, presented by Chalk and UCI Health today. Your membership will guarantee you a spot at this year's Kids Club party. Plus, you'll receive an exclusive kit that features a Ducks lunch bag, Wild Wing bobblehead, t-shirt, and much more. Sign up now at WildWingersKidsClub.com.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. Become an Orange Alliance member today to receive the best fan benefits. Some perks include getting discounts on team store and concession purchases, exclusive access to member-only events, enhanced loyalty program, The Mighty, and playoff priority access. To learn more, visit AnaheimDucks.com/join the Alliance. All right. Well, Welcome Corey Mazizak from The Athletic tonight to the show for the first time, and it's great to have him. He's been a longtime hockey writer, and every time I hear him on the radio, I say, I got to get this guy on Duck Calls, and he covers the Sharks for The Athletic, and here he is now. Corey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Good, good, good. So, well, that was a wild one, to say the very least, 6-5. And, you know, it started 2-2. I thought it might settle down, and it did not. I think it was certainly an entertaining evening.
Yeah, I don't think either of the coaches are going to, you know, go to sleep overly happy about the way things went tonight. But, you know, it was, like, pretty entertaining for the rest of us. But, yeah, it was just a weird – I mean, there was just a lot of – just so much weird stuff. Like, granted, it was just it wasn't even – if there is such a thing as a run-of-the-mill 6-5 game, that was not it.
Yeah, no, that was definitely not it. And, you know, it's interesting. You had this huge save by Anthony Stolarz late in the game. And then shortly thereafter, Erik Karlsson up to 9 goals now. You know, that is really interesting because took a while. It seems took a while to really for him to really get his groove back with the Sharks. Well, why don't we start with from the Sharks' perspective? Erik Karlsson, I mean, you know, they threw in with him on a long-term contract. I wasn't sure a couple of years back if maybe they would just take the 1 year and say thanks for the memories. But he has definitely come roaring back to the guy we knew years ago.
Yeah, it's been an interesting, you know, let's put it this way. He got off to a really good start to the year last year, too. There was, you know, maybe 30, 40 games into the season, there was some of this, like, hey, this looks like the old Erik Karlsson again. And then he had, you know, 2-3 injuries, a couple minor things, and then a sort of a major one that kept him out for, I think it was like 6 or 7 weeks. That's kind of been the story here, right? He was here, you know, he came over, he was here for the run in 2019, and then the past 3 years have been, you know, there's been injuries, there's been inconsistent play, just all the stuff that, you know, whenever you sign a contract that makes you the most, you know, the most expensive defenseman in the league, there's obviously going to be a very high bar set. So, you know, at the start of this year, he said that he was as healthy as he's been. And, you know, just even at one point, whenever we were in Europe, someone on with the team had just sort of mentioned to me, like, man, it seems like Erik is really locked in this year, you know, maybe more so than previous years. And so, you know, this, I don't know if any, I mean, it's hard to like kind of put the 9 goals into perspective because like, he had a hat trick tonight. It was his first hat trick in the NHL. And this wasn't like his best offensive game that he's ever played or anything like that. He shot the puck a whole bunch and a few times it went in. And this was one of those weird games where if you just put it on net, it was going in a lot. If anything, like some of the plays that he set up tonight that didn't become goals were probably even more impressive than just, you know, a couple of shots from the point that sort of found their way in. But he has been, I mean, when I say he is the offense, like I was just talking to somebody about him this morning and they said that, you know, he's our engine. And like, I think coming into tonight, it was, he had been on the ice for 17 of their 24 goals. Well, he was on the ice for at least 4 of the 5 tonight. I can't remember if he was on for all 5, but let's say 4 out of 5, that's still, you know, 21 out of 29. Well, I'm trying to do math. So that's, I mean, that's just like, those are levels of, you know, that you don't really see that from one player on a hockey team.
You know, it's interesting from our end, Adam Henrique had an absolutely beautiful, beautiful deke tonight. And it went around Matt Benning as well on the way to the net, but 2 goals for Adam Henrique tonight. He had dropped off the radar a little bit here. The shots had kind of dried up for him in the first 9 games, but the Ducks need him, you know, amidst the, you know, Trevor Zegras, Mason McTavish, and some of the other young guys. You need a guy like Adam Henrique to be consistent, and he got 2 tonight. It's got to feel good for him, 4 shots on net. I thought he played an absolutely excellent game.
Yeah, that line was really good. And I mean, obviously, it was kind of funny that he scores this, like, wow, that's got to be the best goal in the NHL tonight. And then Timo Meier came back and had one that was pretty close to that, you know, like a couple minutes later. But yeah, no, I was sitting next to a couple of the, you know, the Ducks writers, and I was just literally a minute and a half before the first goal, I was like, oh, you know, Adam, you know, I feel like I haven't heard a whole lot about Adam Henrique this year. And somebody said, well, he hasn't really gotten off to a very good start to the season. So, yeah, no, it's just, you know, it's probably a sign that I've been around for too long that I remember, you know, him with the, you know, being one of the young guys on the Devils, and now he's one of the old guys on the Ducks.
Yeah, indeed. I'll tell you what, from Anaheim's perspective here, we have a big loss in the loss of Jamie Drysdale, and it could potentially be for the torn labrum surgery. It could be for the whole season. And, you know, he's a young defenseman, but he's taking on more and more responsibility. It's a big hole to fill. Now, tonight, John Klingberg, 10 shot attempts, 7 registered as shots. You have Cam Fowler managed a couple shots on net and 5 attempts. But the Ducks' defense, which has been suspect this season, they're really going to have to pull together now. In the absence of Drysdale, there's going to have to be some other guys stepping up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a, you know, I kind of see the Ducks and Sharks as being in pretty similar situations where, you know, both teams would like to win and both teams would like to compete. But I'm sure there are, I mean, every night I see the name Connor Bedard in my Twitter mentions. I'm sure that the Ducks writers and Ducks are seeing the same thing. And, you know, losing Jamie Drysdale for this long is not going to help that. And just also just in general, like even whenever you're in this sort of state that they're in where you're trying to climb back up, like those, I mean, those are the guys that you need to play as much as they can and gain experience and all that. So I thought Kevin Chattenkirk was playing pretty well too tonight. I mean, I know he set up the first goal and it just seemed kind of, you know, just kind of noticeable. And then I didn't actually see what happened there at the end where he got the 10-minute misconduct. And I was like, wait a minute, that's like, they were probably going to use him in overtime and now he can't play. So, but yeah, that was just another, you know, if you were making a list of like the 17 weirdest things that happened tonight, someone getting a 10-minute misconduct, I think it was like while the hats were being thrown on the ice, again, like hats being thrown on the ice 3 minutes after the third goal was scored is another thing that would go on that list. But yeah, just a weird thing all around.
Yeah, and you've got to give David Quinn credit for not only – I love when coaches yank the goaltender early. I'm a big believer that you need more cracks at it than you think you do, and I love when they pull them early, and it paid off for the Sharks tonight. Why don't you give me your take on our guy Trevor Zegras here? You know, there's something about Zegras. He's got it, Corey. There's this certain confidence and the thirst to make big plays. And he'll make mistakes as he ascends the ranks here, but I think the Ducks really have something very special here in terms of Trevor Zegras. It's a cut above. There's a level of confidence you don't get every day. He's had it since he walked into the league. He's willing to try to make plays. He's willing to gamble. Give me your take on Trevor Zegras from what you've seen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going back to the fact that I was covering the Devils, I spent a lot of time watching Trevor Zegras as a 17-year-old whenever he was on the team with Jack Hughes. And I had even done a story for The Athletic on, Trevor is from New York, and there was a collection of New York / New Jersey kids at the program altogether. And so I had gone to Michigan to talk to them about being, you know, this crazy, I think it was 9 kids from the New York, New Jersey area were all at the program at the same time. And
you're talking about the
USA National Team Development Program. And I have spent so much time around those guys over the past 4 or 5 years that it's just like ingrained in me that like that's the program. I watched a bunch of their games, there was a point where it was like, it was Jack and it was Cole Caulfield and it was Alex Turcotte. And that was kind of the first line. And Trevor had gotten hurt, I think, at one point and wasn't playing for a little bit and then came back. And it was like you could just see there was just like a different – I don't want to say a different level of skill with him because obviously Jack and Cole were amazing players too. But, like, you could just see that, like, it just popped, right? He just sort of, like, popped off the screen a little bit whenever you'd be watching them in, like, an international tournament. And so, like – I can't really say that I'm really surprised. I would have said that he should have gone a little bit earlier in that draft on draft day. And what he has done to this point, I think he and and Jack and probably Moritz Seider and Detroit have kind of maybe separated themselves a little bit from the rest of that, which was probably going to be remembered as one of the great draft classes. Those guys have just sort of kind of risen to the top. And I think it's, you know, we're pretty close to being able, pretty confident to say that those two guys, him and Jack, are both going to be franchise centers for a long time.
Corey, let's in my last few minutes here with you tonight, let's pop through the NHL. It was a big night in the NHL tonight, 12 games, but it gives us an opportunity to talk about a couple of clubs who you're very familiar with. You've covered the Devils, as you mentioned. The Devils, I talked about this on the intermission. They were yelling "Fire Lindy" or "Fire Ruff" when they started slow. They're 7-3. They beat the Canucks tonight 5-2. And, you know, Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier are productive. And one had a goal, one had an assist tonight. Hischier and Hughes had goals tonight. And, you know, I think it's unfortunate that Andre Palat is injured and is going to be out for a while, because I thought he would be the kind of guy who you'd want around. It's a nice, astute pickup for the Devils. You'd want him around for the sake of guys like Hischier and Hughes and younger guys. But what is your take on the Devils? Because it's been a real quick turnaround there.
Yes and no, right? Like, it is this, and this is, like, this goes back to the first team that I ever covered, which was the Washington Capitals. They went through like a full-scale rebuild, and they were coming out of it, but they weren't really coming out of it, and people were getting impatient. And the one quote that George McPhee told me that is just, it's one of the two or three quotes that have ever stuck with me for my entire career. He said, "We've done what we can," or whatever, "and one day we're going to wake up and we're just going to be a good hockey team." And like, the whole time that I was covering New Jersey, that quote was always in my head, because Devils fans were just sick of the losing, right? Like, they had, you know, they made the Stanley Cup final in 2012, and then they went a couple more years when they probably should have tried to rebuild, but they didn't. And then they sort of tore it all down to the studs and were trying to get their way back. And it took, you know, they've been rebuilding for 6 years now. I think it is 6 or 7 years. And so, but on the other hand, like, they were really bad last year, and now all of a sudden it feels like a light switch has gone off, and here they are. Like, they look like a monster team right now. Like, they're killing teams. Like, they came where the Sharks went to New Jersey and only got outshot 36-22. And that's actually like better than what the New Jersey's average is so far this season. Like, that was just like, I mean, they were fast and they were just all over the Sharks. The Sharks just couldn't handle it. And so they looked a lot like the Hurricanes, which is another team that, you know, but they've been really good for 3 or 4 years now. And so I just think the two big things with the Devils are they haven't gotten any goaltending in years. That's just been, you know, they probably would have been an okay, like, maybe a fringy playoff team last year if they had, they had some of the worst goaltending of the last 10 or 12 years in the NHL last year. That was just awful. It started out this year, they gave up 5 goals in the first 2 games. And like you said, it was like, well, there's these Fire Lindy chants, and what are they doing? But in the meantime, they're now 7-3, and they're, you know, all the advanced stats say that they're one of the best teams in the league. And I think the second thing is, beyond the goaltending, is that they have these two guys that they think are their franchise centers, you know, Hischier and Hughes, and they've never really spent like more than 10 or 15 games in a row where they've been healthy together. And I think they did a little bit towards the end of the year last year. They just haven't had, you know, they think they have these two guys who could just really like light up the league. They just haven't been able to keep them healthy. And so, like, it's kind of like, kind of everything falls into place a little bit better whenever you have those two guys, and they've basically spent like an extra 2 seasons of rebuilding to try to fill in the holes around them. And now all of a sudden, like, the defense core is way better than it was 2 or 3 years ago. The scoring depth on the wings is way better than it was 2 or 3 years ago. And now all of a sudden, like, they're just going to kind of arrive here. It looks like, if they can continue to get some decent goaltending, they might, it's not even, I mean, if you went into the start of the season, you said, okay, maybe the Devils can you know, finish 9th or 10th in the East, or maybe squeak in. Like, they could win the division now. Like, it's that. I mean, it's only 10 games in, and lots can happen, but they might be good enough to do that.
Corey, one last thing, real quick, before I go to my next break here, because I'm a little up against it here. Used to cover the Capitals. Now, look, the injury list to Oshie, Carlson, Backstrom, Wilson, it goes on and on. Is it just injuries now that's hampering the Capitals? Do you think there's something larger at work? Where do you see the Capitals this season?
Yeah, I mean it started with the Backstrom thing. He's in my mind he might be a Hall of Fame guy someday, and like just to not only not have him, but to not really be sure when they might have him. That's just sort of threw a whole wrinkle into the season. Like, I really liked some of the guys that they added in the offseason, but like, you know, speaking of their injuries, just today we found out that Connor Brown is probably going to miss the rest of the season after he tore his ACL. So, I think them and the Penguins both, right? Like, people have been ready to say that they're not going to make the playoffs for 3 or 4 years now, and with this aging team that they have, and they keep dragging themselves along. And I don't know. I mean, it just seems like this year might be the time, you know, you throw in a team like the Devils surging. A couple of the other teams in the East look a little bit better. They need to get healthy.
Islanders come back
pretty quickly.
And the Islanders are, coming back from having to play all those early road games last year and stumbling around. All right. Corey Mazizek writes for The Athletic. I hope you will all check out The Athletic. It is certainly a whole new thing. It's been around for a few years now. A lot of great writers are there, Corey, and our Eric Stevens here out in Southern California covering the Ducks for many years. And so everybody go check out The Athletic. And, Corey, I really appreciate your taking the time tonight on Duck Calls, and let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Corey. All right, let's take a little break here on Duck Calls. 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888. I want to hear from you. What do you think of this 6-5 victory? You know, they're not there yet, right? We got some things to work on, but they certainly were resilient tonight. Duck Calls on Duck Stream. Give me a call.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% Mountain Spring Water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks, Arrowhead 100% Mountain Spring Water.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream. Join the Wildbringers Kids Club presented by Chalk and UCI Health today. Your membership will guarantee you a spot at this year's Kids Club party. Plus, you'll receive an exclusive kit that features a Ducks lunch bag, Wildling bobblehead, T-shirt, and much more. Sign up now at WildBringersKidsClub.com. WildBringersKidsClub.com. All right. Very good. Very good. Very good. All right. 6-5 tonight, the Ducks over the Sharks. So much good stuff to talk about here from Duckland, even though, we allowed 5 goals, and it could have gone either way, and we wanted in the skills competition, we're going to take it. We're going to take these divisional points. I'm stating the obvious here, but that gets lost a little bit sometimes. If you really want to see who's going to do what in which division, divisional points are usually the dividing line. Aside from things like goal differential, and obviously the Ducks don't grade out very well there at all. But, 2-1-0 in the division, that's not bad. And by the way, what about the Seattle Kraken? Tonight the Seattle Kraken toppled the Calgary Flames in Calgary, 5-4. You got Matty Beniers, Yanni Gord, Daniel Sprong, Morgan Geeking, Carson Soucy. 5-4. Kraken are 5-4-2. They played us tough in that first game at the start of the season. So, interesting to see what's going on in the Pacific Division. The Kraken, very much in the thick of things. The Flames tonight, 5-3-0. So those are big divisional points for the Kraken. And, that Matty Beniers, he is tough. And so let's pop around here. Let me give you all the scores real quick because it's so late. All the scores are in, of course. Lightning 4, Senators 3. This is in Tampa. At Madison Square Garden in overtime, it's Chris Kreider with his 4th goal of the year, 1-0. Rangers over the Flyers. The Golden Knights over the Capitals, 3-2. That one's in overtime, courtesy of Shea Theodore, overtime goal. Jack Eichel got his 5th goal. The Wild 4, the Canadiens 1. The Bruins 6, the Penguins 5. Bruins were down 5-3. in this game in the third period. And I got to tell you, very impressive. They're 9-1 now. And Hampus Lindholm gets the overtime goal for the Boston Bruins. Islanders 3, Blackhawks 1. Islanders are 6-4-0. So the Islanders are certainly starting a lot better than they did last year. The Kings are 6-6-0. But they've been impressive. Tonight, the Dallas Stars, talk about Peter DeBoer, 5-2 tonight, the Stars over the Kings. And Peter DeBoer, I mentioned the other night, he, other than John Cooper, no one's been to more conference final and Stanley Cup finals in the last however many years it is than other than John Cooper is Peter DeBoer. He wins wherever he goes. And it's interesting that he lost his gig in Vegas, and then he goes over to Dallas, and he just rights their ship. Tonight in Edmonton, the Oilers 7, the Predators 4. The Predators are really struggling at 3-6-1. Panthers, Coyotes 3, Panthers 1. This is at the Mullet Arena. I just love saying Mullet Arena. Clayton Keller, Nick Ritchie, and Lawson Krause. Nick Ritchie with his 4 goals, our old buddy Nick. And then, as I mentioned, the Devils 5, the Canucks 2 tonight. Boy, Vancouver, they're making some noise in Vancouver. Evidently, some of the executives sat down some of the key players and said, some of you guys might not be key players here. This is the stories in the press right now, is that the brass in Vancouver is making it clear to the players, if you think it's just going to be the coach who pays the price, you might be mistaken. Could be a whole bunch of players who pay the price for this. A couple other comments I wanted to make. Oh, I want to applaud the San Jose Sharks' new uniforms. I like the jerseys. I like the pants. Colorful, you know, colorful, nice line work, visible numbers. This is the kind of stuff I think about all day long. I really like it. You know, we all bought these 75-inch LED, whatever they call it, whatever the TVs are, the high-definition televisions now. And some of these teams, like I see Tampa a couple of years back, they have a third uniform, black uniform with dark gray numbers. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here with a 75-inch color television, and I'm watching a team wear all black. So, hats off to the Sharks for that one. I like the colorful stuff. And I just want to say, I'm going to set this in the intermission. Big thumbs down every time I see. I think it was the Bruins, and if I'm not mistaken, the Leafs, if my memory serves me, now have an ad on their jerseys. And this is a bridge too far for me. I don't know what you think about that, but... No way, man. You get these ads off of the jerseys. I understand that during the pandemic, they had to put an ad on the helmet, try to pick up some revenue, because goodness knows the whole thing was a nightmare, and you had to do something about all the sales you lost. But, you know, if this league ends up looking like the European leagues, you know, and those European leagues have some really cool logos and colors, but it's just... It just looks like a mishmash of billboards, and it's hard to even tell what team is which. So I think the NHL's crossed the line there. Get those things off. I volunteer my services to come to fly to every team that is using them, and thank goodness the Ducks are not. And I will rip them off the jerseys for you free of charge. So I just want to throw that out as a public service announcement. And also as a public service announcement, I'm going to tell you that we're going to get out of here right now, and you're going to call me on Thursday. We're going to Vancouver. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock is the game. Let's keep it going. Vancouver's struggling. Let's take care of them. Got 2 straight wins here for the Ducks. I like it. The resilience, the response to adversity. That's what I like. 6-5 tonight, Ducks over the Sharks. Thanks for listening to Duck Calls. Thanks to Corey Mazzacek. Have a good night.
The hottest tracks from today's Latin artists make for a soundtrack that boosts your mood and gets you moving. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, brings you a curated selection as part of our exclusive Latin hit station. Hear the best from J Balvin, Ozuna, Becky G, Shakira, and so many more every single day. Plus, you can go commercial-free with TuneIn Premium. So heat up your soundtrack now with Latin hits only on TuneIn.
If you're a real sports fan, and let's be real, since you're listening to this broadcast, you